Well, there you are. Welcome back to Cozy Womb Podcast. This is season 22. The focus is moms because we are the root. I need to put my comforter in the dryer. Hold on.
Hold on. I'll be back.
The blueberry muffin in the kitchen. The clothes wasn't dry, so I couldn't put my blanket in. But that's okay, though. All right, I'm back. Welcome to Cozy Womb Podcast. My name is Shan. I am the mom of the girls. Reading the text messages. We just got ice on trees and cars. Did you get snow? Today, enjoy your sofa. Okay. You can find more about me at shambipodden.com. This is not the only podcast that I do. I have several other podcasts that I am doing solo and being a co-host on. You can find more of that on shambipodden.com. You can find me on IG and TikTok and Twitter at CZWMBpod or podcast. And yeah. This is episode 11. I want to get into what makes a hyper-vigilant mom, because it's not always healthy to be that. Good. Let's see. Okay, so this is what I think. I think life is hectic for many mothers already, but extra chaotic when a mother is hyper-vigilant. Mothering through a lens of anxiety, abuse, not enough rest is dangerous for both mom and child. Being in a mind state of fight or flight does not always allow you to think clearly or logically. You or someone you know may be a hyper-vigilant mom. That's why I'm discussing this. Welcome to Cozy Womb Podcast. Some of us grew up with parents who handled stress well, and others may have had parents who folded. And when I said folded, I mean shut down, do nothing, not show up, not help you get ready for school, not help you with your siblings. You, in turn, as a child, became the parent. And that's a lot of stress on a child. Constant worrying while parenting can create crying, whining children, needy kids, clingy kids, or kids needing attention at school. And the way kids go about getting attention at school may be a class clown or bullying or making problems in the classroom or not able to do what the other kids are doing because they're so focused on what they're not getting at home. If there is a exposure to violence verbally, emotionally, or physically, it can affect children. And that's why it's very important for any parent, whether you're the dad experiencing verbal abuse, emotional abuse, or mental abuse at a home with your children, to figure out a way to get out of there and take your children with you. Same thing with a mom. What does it look like to be a hyper-vigilant mom? Overly focused, constantly checking your money or counting what you're spending. You don't make time for yourself. You don't get the proper rest. Mom duties consume you more than anything else in your day. You're avoiding big groups of people because you don't want people to see that you have problems. You're very jumpy at sudden movements or people. You're constantly in a rush. You wake up your kids in a rush. They eat in a rush. They get out the door in a rush. You get them to school in a rush. They're rushing to get to class. They're rushing to get out what they need. They're rushing to get home. You're rushing to pick them up. You're rushing to get home to eat, feed them. You're rushing to bathe them. You're rushing to put them to bed. Like, there's no calm in your day. Some moms use alcohol and substances to cope with the fact that everything's so on the go. Driving and mentally not being there is very dangerous. Now, I will say this. When Ari was an infant and Anya was a toddler, I was very depressed and going through my own postpartum because I didn't have the support that I was used to having. Ari's dad was depressed because his life was changing. And I was doing everything on my own and I was very stretched thin. I had to wake up very early and I had to go to bed very late and handle both of the girls, be there for both of the girls, pay for things for both of the girls, show up for both of the girls when I wasn't showing up for myself. So there was plenty of times where I was driving and I couldn't remember where I was driving or why I was taking an exit. There were many times where I'm tuning them out in the truck and I'm just driving. I've gone through red lights. Not paying attention, just being in my head. So it is not healthy to be in that mind state as a parent. Okay. You have to make space and time for you to be able to slow down. Mentally and emotionally, you will be exhausted if you keep going and going and going and going and going. Not having a good support system with the kids can be very exhausting. So where is the dad? If you can communicate with the dad, communicate with the dad. If you could communicate with their family, communicate with their family. Where is your family at? Where are your friends at? Do people know what you're going through? Have you talked to somebody? I had to make myself go to therapy when the girls were smaller because I didn't want to be a disconnected parent. I didn't want to be a disconnected mom. I didn't want my kids to have me physically there, but mentally I wasn't available for them. And I wanted to be available for myself. So if you can, let somebody know what you're thinking, what you're going through, what you're experiencing so they can help. A lot of times mothers end up harming their kids because they haven't reached out and told anybody that they need help. They're on autopilot daily, just doing and not really mentally being there. Or they say something to somebody and somebody thinks they're overly being just extra or you're dramatic. If a mom reaches out to you and she's saying, mentally, I can't do it, I need help. However you can help her. If you could give her time to take a nap and come over for a couple of hours, do that. If you can help her clean the house, do that. If you can keep the kids on a weekend when she could go work, do that. If she just needs to go out and get her hair done and her nails and just have a nothing day with herself, help her. Okay? A lot of fathers feel like they have nothing to offer because they don't have a certain amount of money or they can't move about how they want to. A lot of times a new mom or a mom that has multiple kids and one of those kids are yours, offer to just go to the house or the apartment and be there with the kids for the day. That's a lot of help. Offer to just be there for a couple of hours. That's a lot of help. It might not be money, but help when it comes to kids is not always about money. A lot of times it's about the time that you can give, the time that you can show up, the anxiety that you can take off of a mother's plate. And I promise you, a mom that is less stressed is a better co-parent to deal with. A mom that is not worried is a better co-parent to deal with. Trauma, anxiety, and high stress is not good for your kids. You don't have to continue to feel disconnected if you voice it. If you talk to people, if you let people know, it is not for moms to do everything. We are not created to know everything automatically. We are learning as we're mothering. Okay. Every a woman that gives birth does not automatically have a motherly instinct. Sometimes that has to be taught. Sometimes it has to be learned. Sometimes it has to be seen. Sometimes it's already within them. But do not put all of the burden of motherhood on moms only. Cousins can show up. Uncles can show up. Aunts can show up. Friends can show up. Fathers can show up. And honestly, if you offer to help a mom that is hypervigilant, do not disappear when she calls you. Do not ignore that text message. Do not ignore that call at 3 a.m. because there are plenty of times where Ari was screaming at the top of her lungs, fed, clean, clothed, pacifier. I didn't get any sleep. I was working 42 hours a week. And I'm just sitting in the living room with her screaming at the top of her lungs that I don't know what that girl needs. Okay. and she drove me crazy. Okay. Avoid dealing with important decisions solo when you're hypervigilant, because you probably won't make the best decision and you're probably overwhelmed with every day seeming like Groundhog Day. And when I say that is when you have a small baby, it feels like you're cut off from the world and people don't see you as who you used to be. And the fact that you are a person outside of this baby, you're not just a new mom. Okay. Every day is laundry. Every day is bibs. Every day is blankets. Every day is Pampers. Every day is wipes. Every day is bottles. Every day is breakfast. Every day is this walk. Every day is this, that. And it becomes like, damn, what day is it? Because I've been doing this for 6 days straight. What day is it? What needs to get paid? And it's very hard to balance out life when you're in this constant whirlwind of doing all the time. And so if you are that mom, one thing I will tell you is it's not forever. You're not always going to feel like this. It is a phase. It is exhausting. I do understand, but you have to talk to people. You have to let people know that you need help. I had friends that would give up their Saturdays and come keep the girls at my house until I got off of work because they didn't work Saturdays, or they took off so they can show up for me, and I love them for it. I had friends that would come by and take me to the movies just so I could feel like a person. I had a co-parent who would come to the house and keep the kids so I can go outside, or stay with one and so I can show up for the other one by taking her to go to the park. You have people. You just have to talk. You have to let people know what you're going through. A lot of people want to be private and need help. You can't be private and need help. You either make a decision to observe, speak up, talk, share, and see what help comes from that. But a lot of times you cannot be private and want help, be quiet and want help, but not ask for it. It doesn't work like that. There are people around you and people who have come into your life to help you. You don't have to be ashamed because you need help. You don't have to be ashamed because mentally you're not there. You don't have to feel ashamed because you might not like this baby. Okay. I tell people all the time when they're going through what they're going through with motherhood, I did not like Ari for the first year I had Ari. And it wasn't because she just could not be liked. It was because her personality as a baby was completely different from Anya. Anya was a happy baby, very chill, very quiet, easy to deal with, didn't cry a lot. Ari was a complete opposite. She was whiny. She was loud. She was hard to please. And I didn't understand how she needed me until she was like 1 year old. That's when we became friends. That's when everything was cool. Girl, I understand you. Right? So if you're a mom and you're feeling like this baby doesn't like you, nothing you try to do for this baby works, and stuff is not going how you thought it was going to go, it's okay. It's a phase. It'll change. Just understand that just because you create human beings doesn't mean they're going to come out your body and you're automatically going to blend, work well together, and understand each other. You are learning that human being, and that human being is learning you. Okay? So if you need help, just ask for help. If you don't know what you're doing, ask somebody. Research it. Google it. Look it up on YouTube. If you're trying to understand what you're about to get into, look it up on YouTube. I promise you there's a woman on there talking about side effects, talking about her trimester, talking about what she endured at 8 months. She's talking about it. Okay? But you cannot sit there and just be in something and not look for a way out. My name is Shan. This is Cozy Womb Podcast. I hope I helped somebody. I helped you understand what that's like. So when you hear this, when you hear women talking about this, this is what they're talking about, okay? Being a mom, having toddlers, having a new baby will make you insane. You are never the same after you have a baby. You are peeling back another layer of who you are, and you are meeting that new layer of who you are. And that baby is meeting a new layer of who you are. And that's why it's so important that if deep down as a mother, as a woman, you know, you cannot mentally, emotionally, or...
Hey, how you doing? My name is BTG, a.k.a. Baylor, a.k.a. Baylorism. And are you out there looking for that red balloon pop content? Are you still out there watching content about Kendrick and Drake? Do you like gender wars? Are you complaining about your baby mama and your baby daddy still? Well, we don't have that type of content over here at BTG for President. Nor do we have it with Open Room with BTG, still a part of the Rare Sonic Network. I want you guys to go ahead and subscribe and tune in. Will I drop an episode this week? Maybe not. What about next week, you say? Probably, maybe not. But as long as you keep following me, you'll keep following greatness. BTG for President, Open Run with BTG, a part of the Rare Sinus Network. Little stupid bitches.
Physically handle another kid. Let that be known that it's not because you can't have kids that you don't want kids. It's not because you don't like kids that you don't want more kids. It's because mentally, emotionally, and physically, you cannot handle spreading yourself more than what you already are doing. And I feel like it's very selfish for men and women to keep creating life and keep creating human beings that they cannot show up for in the best way, mentally, emotionally, physically, and financially, just because they commit kids. Take that how you want to take that. Okay. This is Cozy Womb Podcast. Thank you for listening. Peace.
Hi, Olivia. Hello, Steve.